Hey, this is Juliana Rankin. You're listening to Texas Toast Podcast. So let's go.
This is Texas Toast. I'm your host, Miss Helen. Kick back and enjoy as we toast the best from Texas. Everyone, welcome to the Texas Toast Podcast with Miss Helen. And this is going to be a really fun one. It's going to be a really big time. Get to know Juliana Rankin. Welcome to the podcast. So nice to see you.
Thank you. It's nice to see you / meet you.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So first and foremost, it's like you're a shiner girl, which I absolutely love.
I am. Yeah. Yeah. I was born just in Gonzales, about 20 miles down the road, and then moved to Shiner when I was in, I guess, third or fourth grade. And then obviously went to college after that. But yeah, I love Shiner. I'm actually going back there next weekend for a show. So it's going to be good to go home.
That's so cool. A lot, you know, and that's a big music area. I'm very familiar with Shiner. I've been in and out of there since my young girl, wild days. And now as an older person, loving to go to Shiner. And there used to be a really awesome guy that came out of Shiner when I was working in radio, and we played him all the time. And Shiner was actually in my listening area with a couple of the stations that I worked for. Bill Pekar. I don't even know if he's still around.
I know the name. I've never met Bill, but there's tons of Pekars around the whole area too. But yes. I don't think I've ever met him, but I definitely know of him.
He had a good song. It was called The Color Song. I'm sure you probably grew up hearing it anyway. This brings back, I always think about Bill when I think about Shiner. Anyway, so moving on to you, Little Miss Music Girl, you are really putting out some good stuff. And I know you got some good stuff to come. We're going to talk about that. But let's talk about your background outside of your rearing in your hometown. But you also attended Texas A&M.
I did. Yeah, I always think this is so interesting because I wonder how my life would have turned out. I almost went to Tech. And so both huge music schools. So it's weird. And I wonder if I would have found it earlier, if I would have even found it at all. But yeah, I was at A&M and just luck of the draw, I just decided to go start singing karaoke. And that's kind of how it started, just singing in bars, which is still what I do now.
Right. So and what were you studying? Was you studying to be an attorney?
I was, yeah. I got an English degree, and then I took the LSAT and was about to start applying that my senior year. And just, I realized that was kind of once I started playing guitar and was really singing, and I wasn't writing songs at that point. But I was just enjoying kind of playing around College Station, and I knew how happy it made me be. And I was like, man, do I even want to explore this? And it was actually my dad who was like, do you really want to be an attorney? Do you want to, see if what's out there for music? He was like, you're young, might as well. And so he and my mom were the ones that encouraged it while I was still in school.
So how did you transition from karaoke to this amazing songwriter that you are? How fast did it happen? You were singing when you were young, or when did you pick up guitar? Just kind of take me through that. I'm just so intrigued with it.
Yeah. It's been one of those things that I've known, I've always kind of had that side of me, but I was just kind of anxious to explore it. I was afraid to explore it because I didn't know what was going to be on the other side. But my grandfather was a musician, and I knew I loved singing as a kid, but I just didn't do a whole lot of it outside of, the shower and passenger seat of my mom's car. But I was, like I said, an English major, and I was having to write all the time for class. And it was mostly a lot of technical writing. Every now and then I took some creative writing and poetry and prose and things like that. But I always loved writing short stories as a kid. And so I think that's where, once I found the music side of me, that I could play guitar and I knew I could sing, I was like, well, let's see if any of these old poems I wrote 15 years ago work. But no, I just kind of, one day I just sat down, and I'd been playing all day long. And I remember the first day I wrote my first song, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. This is really interesting.
It is cool.
Yeah. But it was crazy. I mean, it all happened within the span of 3 months, I guess, is when I figured it out. But, and they just one after the other, I learned, I was singing, someone told me I was good at it. I was like, well, if I'm going to be good at that, might as well pick up guitar. If I'm going to sing and play guitar, I might as well write songs. And so, yeah, it's been a really cool journey to see how that all transitioned.
Yeah, I love how that all came together with already with your major, you know, with the English major and the writing and all that. So really perfect. So, yeah. All right. So now you have your original music. When did you like go out in public and go, okay, I wrote this song, I'm going to sing it for y'all?
Yeah, that was something I didn't automatically, when I was still playing a lot kind of in College Station, then I moved to the San Antonio area and north of New Braunfels. I wasn't quite, I had one song that I was really playing, but that was pretty much it. It was just covers. But I tell you what, it was not that long ago. I mean, I won a competition to play for the NFR when it was in Fort Worth during COVID. And Anthony Lucia, he has a TV show, and he said, hey, I want you to come on the show. Like, you can play whatever you want. Covers, if you have any original songs, great. And I was like, well, I'm not going to go on a TV show and just play covers. And so I wrote one song. I ended up writing two songs that I played both on the show. And that was really when I started, you know, people are liking it, I need to keep doing this. And that was the breaking point of, I'm not going to play covers anymore. I'm going to keep writing and mix in. You know, if I can do half original, half covers, that's a good start. So I wrote like the wind for a while until I didn't have to play covers anymore.
Wow.
But yeah, it's been really cool to see, you know, the way myself has come, parts of me that I did not even know were there have come through in songs. But a lot of my songs too are, I guess, come from that degree. I make up a lot of it, or I write from another person's perspective, and that kind of takes the pressure off of you a little bit because you don't have to deal with your own emotion, but when you can deal with someone else's, but yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
So I was looking, like, you already have like shared the stage and opened for so many amazing, talented artists.
I'm very lucky. Yeah. I always say, you know, as talented as everyone is within the Texas country music scene and Red Dirt, you would think everyone would be so much more cutthroat because everyone's so good. But the family of musicians that I've met and become such good friends with, it's astonishing. I'm so, so, so lucky. I wish everyone could experience that. But yeah, I've had some good times opening for some good names.
Yes. So who's kind of your circle of support with your music?
Definitely. I'm really close with Miss Bree Bagwell. She's one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Hobbs. I've gotten to know Caitlin Butts very well. Jason, I cannot say enough words about Jason Eady. He has been just the kindest, most welcoming person. Ever since we met, we were all, it was like a big group of us of like 8 or 10. And we all stayed up at Bree's house until like 7 in the morning one night after he played at the Redbird. And we just song swapped the entire time through the group.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, it was incredible. That's one of my favorite nights of A, my life, and B, just within this scene, just within the past few years. I mean, it was just incredible. Just, you know, we were just having a good time laughing, and we all got to know each other really well. And it was kind of that moment Jason and I became really close. And I went to go see him in Midnight River Choir this weekend. I've been in Oklahoma City. I had the weekend off, and me and my best friend Rachel were like, well, let's go see him. And so we did. And he's so kind, along with, you know, Adam Hood and Wade. They've all been so great to me, but yeah, I'm so lucky.
I know. And the thing is, you just nailed it. And we talk about this a lot on this podcast. We talk about it a lot when all of us can finally get together, that it's just one big family. Everybody lifts each other up, no matter what you are in the industry. Like, everybody in the industry just works together. And it's amazing the friendships that you develop. And it's like, some of these people are literally like my family.
Right. Well, see, that's what kind of happened with me at Steamboat last year. Is I went just as a fan and just hoping to catch some good shows and see friends that I already knew play, and ended up getting to play somewhere every single day of Steamboat and Music Fest. And I mean, like, I did not know Willie and Mickey Braun, any of the Braun's, going into it. And they pulled me up at one of their shows. And, you know, Wade did it at his ballroom show. And Jason and Courtney all did. And it's just, it's crazy. I mean, seeing the support from people that you don't even know really. And now I consider it to be good friends with, even just in the last span of a year, which is crazy.
No. I know it is crazy. It's crazy how it's so big, but yet it's so small. Like when you're together, it's just like, yeah. Anyway,
that's the magic of it, because we don't all get to see each other all the time. And when we can all sit around and share songs and stories and laugh, that's just the magic of it.
Hey guys, producer Kyle here. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the Texas music fan in your life, you've got to check out More Than Music Creations. More Than Music teams up with Texas bands and artists like Randy Rogers' band, The Wilder Blue, Pat Green, Bree Bagwell, and Jade Marie Potek to create unique handcrafted jewelry that's inspired by that artist's music and made with their own used guitar strings. A portion of each sale goes to giving kids in the Central Texas foster care system the gift of music through mentoring and private lessons. To check out the full collection of this one-of-a-kind jewelry, visit www.morethanmusiccreations.com. Now back to the show.
All right, let's talk about your music. Miss Me When I'm Gone. We talked about that here on the podcast. So, you know, it's like you came out, we listened to your first two songs, and it was like, and of course, I know Kyle's already been familiar with you. He's been really talking about you. Like, Juliana is so good. But let's talk about the backstory on that, Miss Me When I'm Gone, when you wrote it and it coming to fruition and being such an awesome song.
Yeah. So that one is, it's one of those ones that just, when a song just falls out of you. I mean, I wrote that song in probably maybe an hour and a half. I mean, it was so quick. And I had just come home. I was playing a good weekend of shows and I had just come home, was exhausted. My apartment was a mess at that point. And I had just washed the dishes. And literally the first line of that song was, and that's how it started. And, you know, at the time, I think I was dealing with, you know, some kind of a man situation where I felt taken for granted. And that was the message of the song. But with that one, I didn't even realize what the message was until I had written it. And I went back and kind of dissected each verse and the chorus. And it's one of my favorite songs. It is my favorite song I've ever written. It's gotten me in some great rooms in front of some amazing crowds, introduced me to so many other artists because they heard that song. So I'm very, very, very grateful for it. And I'm glad people are enjoying it. And it's nice to have it out. I've been sitting on that one for, you know, close to 3 years now. So it's crazy that I feel like I wrote it yesterday, but it's, you know, it's so glad. I'm so glad to have it out.
Washed all the dishes in the sink, sewed a few patches on your jeans. Ironed all your shirts for the week, so you didn't have to. Swept all the floors and made our bed, so you'd have a safe place to lay your head. Put some dinner on the stove, so when you got home, you wouldn't know. I spent the whole damn day longing to hear what you'd never say. And I can't help a thing. Sometimes I wonder if you even gave a damn. If I cut my hair or lost some weight, I gave you all I can. So just in case on the day I decide to leave, I'll take care of everything. Be halfway out of town before the lights come on, just so you don't have to miss me.
You know, and I'm sure you know this and you're seeing this too, because you are a prime example of it. Timing is everything.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about New Money.
Sure.
I just love the lyrics. When we got that song, it's like going to the grocery store and the new jewelry. I mean, just like the whole thing. Yeah. Tell me about New Money.
So that one is, I love telling this story because it's just hysterical where it comes from. So, you know, growing up in Texas, the oil industry here is so, and, you know, I still consider us the South, you know, the phrase new money versus old money and the differences between those is something my grandmother used to talk about, but in terms of oil money. And I always thought that was just the most hilariously cool and clever idea for a song. And I had it written down for probably a year. And I remember I was sitting in her living room when she said it, and I've had it written down on just tons of paper in my living room and my phone, just different verses that I thought would work. Nothing ever did. And then I had one verse that I thought was, you know, a decent idea. And that was the first verse of the song. But then one day I just said, "New money looks good on you." And I was like, "Oh, there's the hook." And so I texted Garrett Mann from Statesboro Review. And I was like, "Listen to the vibe of what I'm doing here. And just send me any kind of a cool guitar look, whatever you think off the top of your head. I just want something to click." And whatever he sent me, it really clicked, and it just spun me. It put me on a train that I could not stop. And it was such a fun song to write, even more fun to record, and equally as fun to play. It's so much fun. So I love that song. That's my, I guess my Steely Dan Reeling in the Years song, where you just roll your head every sunny day.
Jenny had a job and bills to pay. Got a mama's good looks and no sense to her name. She was working them favors to the bone when a company man came along. He was knock, knock, knocking down the bedroom door. Now she's wearing black gold to the grocery store. She got
good yeah. job on that one. And I see now did that go out to radio?
It did. Yes. Yeah. I went out to Music Row Radio.
Okay. Yeah. And so you've been out visiting some of the stations and doing that whole radio tour thing.
Yeah. I just got off my first radio tour. I guess almost 2 weeks ago. I did 2 weeks. Kind of the first week was Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. And then I went up to Iowa, Nebraska, some of those northern states. And then the last week I was in Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And I had so much fun because I keep saying I kind of eat, pray, loved it, because I did it by myself, and it was great. I got to do things that I wouldn't be able to do, you know, with other people around. And I took myself on a date to Graceland, which was really cool. I had a blast. Oh, but
nice.
I had such a good time and met so many good radio DJs, made a lot of new friends along the way. So I'm very excited. And I think I have another radio single coming out in November that I'll probably go back out for. So, yes.
Wonderful. Yeah. Speaking of that segues perfectly into, so you're going to have some new music coming up, and then you've got a new EP as well. Let me talk to you first of all, before we get into some of those songs already highlighted and the one that's going to be your next release, who's producing you, where you're recording?
Adam Oder with Yellow Dog Studios in Wimberley. I've worked he's become just, he's family now. I mean, we talk almost every day. He's so brilliant. And everyone knows that with his track record, but we just had the best time. It's gotten to where, you know, we know each other's thoughts and finish each other's sentences in the studio, and we co-write a lot. And I love him so much. He's just like family, but we had such a good time. I can't wait to go back.
And with you doing so much writing and just really jumping into it, how hard was it for you to choose the first songs on this EP that's going to be coming out?
You know, for me, it was, it kind of all started with a song that's going to be on the EP that I wrote a couple of years ago called Company Man. That was the one that really kickstarted it all. And we decided it was kind of too niche to be a radio single, but it was the project that just, everything was just one after another after that. I had already written Miss Me When I'm Gone, but Company Man was the one that stylistically, this is the vibe I want to put off for this EP. So the rest of the songs are a lot like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just going to put this out there. My radio ear liked it. Okay. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that. I got that. So I played it on radio tour a ton. That was my live song that I played, and I got that from everybody. So I was like,
yes. There's such a good play on the words there. Cause you know, you look at it, you see Company Man, then you start listening to this song and it's like, I need company. I mean, like, you just did such a good job writing on that and the delivery. So just keep that in the back of your mind.
Thank you.
I'm the desert waiting for you. you come on home and keep me company, man.
And so Devil Had Blue Eyes, that is going to be your next release.
That is. That'll be going to radio on November 3rd. Yes. I'm really excited about that one. So that's the song I actually wrote for the NFR show. And that okay. was, I consider that one kind of like the first real song that I wrote that I was actively playing out at shows. So I'm really excited about that one. That one totally transformed in the studio. Jeff Queen did this cool dobro. Oh my gosh, it turned out so good. But yeah, I'm really excited for that one.
And so there's 5 songs total on it. And of course, your current releases, Miss Me When I'm Gone, New Money's on there. Won't Be the Whiskey's another good song. So that the EP, everybody needs to be ready when it comes out. And because I just think it's so much fun just seeing you, hearing your story, and then now here your first EP is going to come out. But man, you are really doing it. So what are some of your goals for like maybe the next couple of years or next year or the whatever?
Within the next year. So kind of right now I'm in limbo of just kind of really, I've been playing a lot of private parties lately, which is nice because, you know, the money is obviously better with those, but, and just kind of getting into different groups of people when they hire you for a private party is really awesome. Within the next year, I really would like to get on, you know, a good tour with somebody on an opening slot, you know, whether it be solo acoustic or full band, I'm ready for either. So that's kind of within, you know, the next year, what I'm hoping for. And then we're looking at hopefully January to go back into the studio and record some more songs and do a few more singles after that. And then a full length album following that. So that's kind of over the course of the next year, year and a half, that's what'll be in the hat or in the wheel. It'll be a big year.
Yes, it'll be a big year, and we'll be looking forward to the music coming from you and then getting out and more shows as well.
Me too. I'm so excited. I was just talking to Adam Oder earlier and he was like, what's going on? And I was like, I'm sitting at home. I just want to be on the road. It feels so weird just sitting at home, you know, but yeah, I'm excited for what's to come. I think it's going to be a really good next year and end of this year. And then going into 2024, I'm very excited.
Okay. And so, since everybody's going to be listening, we got to figure out where everybody can find you.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram. I'm even on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now, TikTok. Everything is Juliana Rankin Music. So it's all there. And then my website is, you know, a good hub, which is JulianaRankin.com.
JulianaRankin.com. And of course, Juliana is with 2 N's, y'all. So yeah, well, man, it's just so cool getting to have you on the podcast. So let me ask you one last question. We always ask here if I can remember. Sometimes I get so like drawn into things I forget. But if you were a cocktail, what would you be?
I would be a Mexican martini.
That sounds good.
I love
spicy.
Yeah, I'm sitting, my bar is my background here. So
awesome. Awesome. Love it. All right. Well, we wish the best for your future. We'll be following you. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Juliana Rankin.
Thanks for having me. It's great to meet you.
With a heavy tongue, she knew where I was from as she left. I dare to say, well, you can go to hell. But home. Well, take away these city lights. Put me on a one-way flight. I'm leaving out of here tonight. Just consider me gone.